Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. 2 or 3 decades ago, as Susan said to the children, if you were going on a road trip somewhere you've never been to before, somewhere you're unfamiliar with, you need a stack of something called a map. Like that. Your cars were stuffed with such things. Now, now I know some of you, if not most of you, don't know what a map is or don't remember anymore. It looks something like this. It's a large piece of paper with all the arteries and all the highways and byways listed. And, it was one thing to open it when you're driving, which made it quite difficult to drive, let alone make it safe to be on the road. It's always better, in my experience, to have a passenger that do the map opening and the tracing of where you're going to. For some, that was not always possible, so you almost had to pull over every time you needed to find out if you were on the right track. And most of all, it was an aggravating thing. It wasn't always smooth sailing when you had to operate with a map. It was frustrating, let alone aggravating. Now, the thing about maps is that it didn't always get you exactly where you wanted to go. It got you there close. It got close to where you needed to go. But then if you still don't know where you go, you need to get even a close-up map, a closer map, a more detailed map for the exact direction, the exact destination you wanted to go to. Again, it's a cumbersome tool to have been used. But you know what? Somehow we've all managed to get to our destination. We all got to where we needed to go. Yes, some of us, particularly men, had to swallow our pride, got out of the car and ask somebody. After all that map unfolding and folding, and you still didn't get where you needed to go, so we had to swallow our pride, told by our spouse to get out and ask someone. Oh, I really don't want to, but fine. We all got to where we needed to go, eventually. We got to our destinations. You know, sadly, our children and our grandchildren won't get to experience the joy of fully opening and trying to put this thing back in its rightful properties as they were. Then in the 90s, y'all remember what happened in the 90s? Along came the information superhighway that's called the Internet. Yay! And you could get your directions straight. You could get your map right online. Boy, driving down that information superhighway was awesome. It was easier, it was faster, it was more accurate than before, than the old maps. With MapQuest on the internet, all you had to do was just type in the address where you wanted to go, and there, it provided you step-by-step process of how to get there. And even provided you with a little map that outlined the route that it's been detailing step-by-step. No more piles of maps in the truck, in the car. That was awesome. It made reaching our destinations much easier and quicker and a lot less frustrating, provided that you printed out the direction the MapQuest gave you. If you didn't print it out, well, you had to resort back to these things. Then 10, maybe 15 years ago, we developed the GPS, the Global Positioning System, or SatNav, satellite navigations. Back then, you needed a special unit that was mounted on your windshield or on your dashboard on your car, and it mapped out the route that you programmed into it to follow. That was the GPS unit. You know, you had all kinds of companies create those things. But today, anyone with a smartphone or semi-smartphone can just type in the address, and Google will gladly guide you, even speak to you, would guide you and tell you when you made a mistake, wrong turns, and all that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful these days to go on a road trip. You don't need a passenger even to guide you there. Your smartphone will get you there, provided you enter the right address and that you're in a zone where the internet is available, where Wi-Fi signal is prevalent. Yeah, buddy. You know, to borrow the slogan from Virginia Slim, we've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. Now, what does all this have to do with where we are today? What's all this talk about maps and internet and GPS and so forth have to do with this day? Well, as many of you know, and as I stated at the beginning of the service, this is the first Sunday of Advent, which marks for us a brand new church year. Last Sunday was Christ the King Sunday, which ended the previous year, church year. So today is the new year. This is a new church year. So you know what that means? Happy New Year, y'all. Happy New Year. I know some of you say, wow, you're just all kinds of weirdness today, Pastor. You won't let us celebrate Christmas, but you're talking about New Year's already? Well, that's the calendar year we're in. As a church, this is a brand new church year. And as it is, we're once again starting on a road trip, on a journey, following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus, the King. Yes, and this first Sunday of Advent and the first day of this new church year, we're embarking on a trip that will take us once again around the sun. And we'll end up where Jesus ends up, namely in Jerusalem on Calvary. That's our destination. For that was Jesus' destination. And as his disciples, as his followers, we shall once again follow him there through the courses of this new church year. Not just for this Advent season, but for the remainder of this new church year as we go around the sun one more time, we will follow where our Lord Jesus leads us. So this Advent season, I hate to burst your bubble, this Advent season isn't really about getting ready for Christmas. No. Christmas is just our first stop along the way. Yes, the birth of Jesus is our way to is the start of our way to following him to his death and to his resurrection. Now look, this trip that we're embarking on starting today will be a familiar one to many of us, a well-worn road for many of us. Along the way, we'll meet familiar people like Mary and Joseph and John the Baptist and the 12 disciples. We'll meet but we'll meet and talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We'll meet the blinds and the lepers that Jesus healed and so forth and so on. Along the way, we'll go to familiar places, as Susan was talking about, with the kids. We'll go to Bethlehem, to Nazareth. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee and to Capernaum and to various regions where Jesus trotted. And along the way on our trip around the sun, we'll hear familiar stories, just like we hear at family gatherings, at family events. So we set off again today. We set off again today on this first Sunday of Advent, this first Sunday of the new church year, to follow our Lord. We're on a road trip that would lead us to his destination, to Jerusalem. However, Jerusalem is not our final destination. Yes, we will follow as Jesus leads us as we go around the sun one more time. We will follow him as he leads us to Jerusalem, but that is not our final destination. You see, for God the Father, the death of his son in Jerusalem was never the final destination for his people. It was a necessary stop. It was a necessary stop to start the second leg of the trip. The final destination for all of us, for all of God's people, is the new Jerusalem, not the old. The new Jerusalem is where there is no death. There's no more death, only life. In the new Jerusalem, there is no tears, only joy. There is no hatred, only pure love. Where there is no war, only eternal peace. That's our destination. That's where we're headed. Our Lord Jesus will lead us, yes, to the old Jerusalem where he suffered and died. But our final destination, dear friends, is the new Jerusalem, which he will usher in, which will he bring back to us. That's our final destination as followers of Jesus. The Jesus who promised in John chapter 14 that he goes before us to prepare a place for each of us who believe in him. And we who believe in him will also believe that the day is coming when our King will come in his glory and when the gates of the new Jerusalem will finally be fully open to us once and for all. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that will be for those who believe, for those who dare to follow on this trip with him throughout this new year. Now, until then, we are to commit to go on this trip with our Lord one more time around the sun. We may not make it all the way around for various reasons. He himself could be returning any day during our trip around the sun. But we commit, nevertheless, to follow him together, starting our journey in Egypt. Now, you say, why Egypt? Well, it's a good place as any. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but Egypt is the most frequently mentioned country outside of Israel in the Bible. That means something. There's something important about Egypt. Biblical Egypt served both as a place of refuge, of safety, as well as a place of threat to the Lord's people in the Bible. We know this. From Abraham and Sarah to Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the prophets and patriarchs and the people had continuous connections with the place called Egypt, with the country known as Egypt. And on more than one occasion, they even lived in this land, away from the promised land that God has promised his people. You know, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Moses, was called out of Egypt. You know the story. And Joseph, from whom the stories of the miraculous recovery and the miraculous joy and the act of forgiveness that Joseph had over his brothers, we hear of how this man who was once sold into slavery became the second most important man in the land of Egypt. God has used Egypt as an instrument to train, to prepare, to fortify, and to save his people. Egypt serves as a refuge to Israelites one final time in the Bible. That occurred when Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus took flight to Egypt to save the life of baby Jesus. Our Sunday school children are taught this story. In fact, one child drew a picture of an airplane with a pilot and with Mary and Joseph and Jesus in it, and was asked, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, this is the flight to Egypt." And asked, "Who's that at the head of the plane?" "Well, that's Pilate." Children know this story. We all knew and grew up with the story of Jesus and his family, the faith family, the holy family, sought refuge in Egypt. Personally, as a person of African descent, I am quite proud of the fact that God used Egypt, which, by the way, if you didn't know, is in Africa. God used this land, this continent, to be instrument of saving his people. Now, I suppose God could have used any other country, but he didn't. He chose Egypt. There are many reasons why. We don't have time to get into it. But the good news is that this land served both as a land of refuge, but also a land that prepared and shaped God's people. So it is apparent that Egypt played an enormous role in the waxing and waning fortunes of ancient Hebrews from the time of Abraham to the days of Jesus. Along with other lands in the area, the Lord used Egypt to test and to train and to preserve his people. And for that we give thanks. So when Mary and Joseph returned to their homeland, back to Israel, Matthew tells us that they settled in the town of Nazareth. Now, Nazareth, back then, was a small town, probably no more than 500 people in the town. Everyone probably knew each other. There probably were just a large gathering of families and relations that lived in Nazareth. Well, today Nazareth is one of the bustling cities in Israel. There are probably over 75 to 100,000 people today living in Nazareth. It has come a long way since the days of Jesus. And from then, Nazareth is also one of those towns that in the Bible seem to be insignificant. You remember there's a story when Philip said, "Come and meet Jesus. He's the one from Nazareth." And Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a small podunk town out of middle nowhere." The people in Nazareth were probably considered the lowest of the lowest, the poorest of the poorest, and yet It is out of that town that God chose the vessel to bring forth his one and only son, Jesus, chose Mary and Joseph, and left them in charge of protecting, sheltering, and raising his son in the ways of the Nazarenes, in the ways of the Hebrew people. God chose this small town, this tiny, insignificant town, to be the very agent of ushering in God's presence, God's power, and God's might that is still today cause us to be in awe. Now, Nazareth, if you were in my Thursday noon Bible study, we've been studying the minor prophets, and you recall that Israel has divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom known as Israel and the southern kingdom known as Judah. Nazareth is in the northern kingdom, in the region that was known as Israel. And it was there that Joseph ended up with the Holy Family, with Mary and Jesus. This was also the same town that Mary and Joseph came out of. Remember the story in the Gospel of Luke where there is a census that was required by the Roman government and everyone was required to register in their own hometown. Mary and Joseph left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem to register. So from the very beginning, this town had a significant role in the life, in the lives of the Holy Family, in the lives of Jesus. And it is significant to us because to this very day we refer to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. There's a good reason for that. The name Jesus was prevalent just like John or Bill back in the day. But it was important to distinguish this Jesus from all those other Jesuses. So we refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth. The one who hails from, who grew up, who was raised by, and in the town of Nazareth. And without this little town, I don't know where our Christian history would have ended up. I don't know how our journey, our trip would be. I'm sure God would have used a different town, but this is the town God chose, and we give thanks to him for that. Now, during this season of Advent, we are advancing toward our trip for the remainder of this new church year. And from Nazareth, we'll be going to, we'll be traveling to Bethlehem and see the baby Jesus. From Bethlehem, we'll continue on to the River Jordan, and we'll see Jesus getting baptized by John. And for there we make our way around the sun, we will follow Jesus through Galilee and hear his gracious and life-changing words. And we'll cry out our hosannas. And we see him as we see him on the cross in Jerusalem. We'll sing our hallelujahs when he rises from the dead again. Yes, to many of us, this road trip will be a familiar one. Full of familiar places, familiar stories, familiar people who through Christ Jesus, the King, we call our brothers and sisters. But friends, I invite you to strap in, buckle your seatbelt, because we're going on this trip, and I hope you will be here every Sunday throughout this new church year as we travel together, following our Lord's footsteps. And as we go, and as we gather each Sunday, I strongly encourage and invite you to bring a friend or two, because road trips are much, much fun when you share it with others. Road trips are much fun, a lot more fun, and more enjoyable in the company of others. So that's where we're heading. That's where we're advancing during this season of Advent. We're in for yet another adventures as we go around the sun one more time, starting today in this brand new church year. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.